The epistle to be read today for the Feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Give ear, ye islands, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, he hath been mindful of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand he hath protected me, and hath made me as a chosen arrow. In his quiver he hath hidden me, and he said to me, Thou art my servant Israel, for in thee will I glory. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, Behold, I have given to thee to be the light of the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation even to the farthest part of the earth. Kings shall see, and princes shall rise up, and adore for the Lord's sake, and for the Holy One of Israel who hath chosen thee. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. Elizabeth's full time of being delivered was come, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and kinsfolk heard that the Lord had showed his great mercy towards her. And they congratulated with her, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise a child. And they called him by his father's name, Zachary. And his mother answering said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by that name. And they made signs to his father, and how he would have him called. And demanding a writing table, he wrote, saying, John is his name. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all their neighbors. And all these things were noised abroad over all the hill country of Judea. And all they that had heard them laid them up in their heart, saying, What one think ye shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And Zachary, his father, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he hath visited and wrought the redemption of his people. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. What one ye think ye shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. His words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One day a pious nun had a vision. She had this vision during Mass when the people were kneeling at the altar rail to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. Behold the Lamb of God, the priest said. Behold him who taketh away the sins of the world. Holding the Blessed Sacrament in his hands, the priest ascended the altar to distribute Holy Communion to the faithful. Now as the priest approached the people, the nun saw Jesus in the sacred host in a visible manner. And as the priest was distributing Holy Communion, she saw Jesus stretch out his arms towards some of those who were receiving him in communion. It was as though our Lord was impatient to reach them and eager to unite himself to his beloved people. But when the priest stood before some of those at the communion rail, the expression on Christ's face changed. Instead of appearing with outstretched arms and a gentle and loving face, his countenance assumed the look of a disapproving judge. From such as these, he turned away. The nun was surprised at this, because those that our Lord turned away from seemed just as devout as the others, to whom he was most eager to unite himself. On seeing this, she prayed, O my Lord Jesus, she said, why do you seem so unwilling to enter into these people? They seem to be as devout as the others. To this prayer, our Lord replied, "My daughter, the souls into whom you see me enter so gladly are those who are always seeking to praise me, and who have prepared themselves well to receive me. Those others of whom you speak are tepid Christians, full of faults and sins. To your eyes they appear as pious as the others, but to me, who can see their hearts, and to whom the secrets of their conscience are made known, they appear very different indeed." Now, in today's Gospel, we read about the birth of St. John the Baptist, the son of St. Elizabeth, and the cousin of our Lord, and precursor of our Savior. And thus it was his birth that was foretold by the angel Gabriel. See, God sent St. Gabriel to Zachary, and he announced that his wife Elizabeth would receive a child in her old age. But Zachary did not believe it. And for his disbelief, he was struck dumb. But as St. Elizabeth did conceive, and she bore a son. And when St. Elizabeth brought forth St. John the Baptist in her old age, she and her neighbors and relatives rejoiced. You see, children were looked upon as gifts of God and signs of his blessing. Now, on the eighth day after his birth, the child was to be circumcised and to receive his name. Those who had gathered for the celebration thought that the child would be called Zachary after his father, or should be given the name after another relative. But St. Elizabeth said, "No, he shall be called John." Therefore, they turned to Zachary to ask him what his child should be called. And since he could not speak, he demanded a writing tablet, and he wrote on it, "John is his name." They all wondered why he called him by this name. And immediately, St. Zachary received the ability to speak again. The people marveled at what had taken place. St. Zachary was given his speech back, and his child was named John, because it was the name given to him by the angel Gabriel. For years after, the people remembered these things, and St. John, even as a child, was looked upon as a holy man. As the Gospel says, and all that had heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." Today, my dear faithful, as I mentioned, is the feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Now, the name John means Yahweh, that is, God is gracious. He was given this name because his mission was to prepare the world for the coming of Christ. And thus his mission was raised above all the other prophets. As the Gospel of today shows, even while as a child, he was greatly honored. The people said, "What shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And so to prepare himself for this great mission of preparing the people for our Lord, St. John the Baptist went to live in the wilderness even as a young child. And there he lived a life of prayer and fasting. He lived on milk and honey, and he wore a camel skin as his clothing. God had chosen him to prepare the way for his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he succeeded in his mission beyond all comprehension. For as we read in the Gospels, great numbers of people flocked to hear him in the desert, to hear him preach, and to receive spiritual direction from him. St. John had the exalted mission of preaching penance and prayer to the people in order to make them ready for the coming of their Redeemer. And he was also the first to point out Christ as the Savior of the world. And this exalted mission and his personal holiness made him one of the greatest men ever to live. Our Lord proclaimed his greatness to everyone, for he said of St. John the Baptist, "Amen, I say to you, there hath not risen among them that are born of a woman a greater than John the Baptist." And so, my dear faithful, as St. John prepared the world for Christ's coming, we must prepare ourselves for Christ's coming into our hearts in Holy Communion. For when we receive communion, we truly and really receive our Lord himself. We must seriously strive, therefore, to prepare our hearts for our Lord and Savior in the Holy Eucharist. For we do not want to be numbered among the unworthy souls in that vision of the nun. Rather, we want our Lord to come into us with open arms. And so we must prepare ourselves. You know, the Catechism asks the question, is it enough to be free from mortal sin to receive plentifully the graces of Holy Communion? It answers, to receive plentifully the graces of Holy Communion, it is not enough to be free from mortal sin, but we should be free from all affection to venial sin and should make acts of lively faith and a firm hope and ardent charity. This means that even though we may receive Holy Communion, we do not always receive all the graces that are possible. We do not always benefit from our communions to the extent that we should. And so, to benefit from our communions, we of course must be in the state of grace. We must hate mortal sin as the greatest of evil in the world. And we must also strive to withdraw our hearts even from the attachment to venial sin. And to help us to better receive communion, we should also make acts of faith, hope, and charity. And we must beg the Sacred Heart for the grace to receive communion worthily and devoutly. Also call upon Our Lady and St. John the Baptist and ask them to help you grow more and more in the love and appreciation for our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. They were the best who prepared themselves for Christ's coming. And so they are the best to help prepare us for receiving Christ in Holy Communion. And as our Lord told the nun in the story, he gladly enters those souls of those who are always seeking to please him, and who have prepared themselves well to receive him in Holy Communion. And so let us pray to St. John the Baptist today, as we pray in the prayer for the secret of today's Mass. Sanctify, O Lord, the gifts we offer to him. And by the intercession of the blessed John the Baptist, cleanse us by these from the stains of all our sins. And may God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.